have here notice of our annual business meeting, which will be Sunday, March 10th, second session, which the usual procedure, new business, election of deacons. And the following individuals will be on the ticket to be renominated as deacons: Jeff Town, Brad Balding, and Nick DiLorenzo. Supposed to snow Sunday, high 26 maybe, low of 9, so don't put up your winter stuff yet. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 2 of your notes. We'll try to make some progress. We got carried away Sunday, but I'm not making any apologies. You might want to credit it to the Holy Spirit, as I do have the gift and I try to be led by the Spirit. And so let's, in that regard, be sure that we are in sync with God, the Holy Spirit, in fellowship, and ready to concentrate on this important subject. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together in these last days, calling upon you to continue to protect and provide for our positive volition so that we can make it through the evil that surrounds us. Continue to make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Bless this Bible class to our edification and growth in Christ. Amen. All right, gossip and verbal sins. This activity was forbidden, of course, under the law. The law of Moses addressed various STA behaviors of people, including sins of the tongue. And as we would expect, not just the overt stuff. Well, that's an overt sin, obviously. I'm in the wrong direction here for Leviticus. That's Leviticus 19:16. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. And you're not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. The fool spreads slander, Proverbs 10, verse 18. We also covered this in connection with deceitful behavior. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. Concealing hatred, in other words, the real person hates the person, but they're concealing their real attitude towards them. It's another form of lying. And he who spreads slander is a fool. You don't want to be a fool, so you don't want to be involved in any kind of slanderous activity. Slander destroys Category 3 love, and it undermines friendship. Because someone is running down someone they should not be running down, and it affects other people sometimes who take it as the truth. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. That's one to observe. Drives a wedge between them. They don't like the person, so they attack the person, malign the person who is connected to this person, and that is the result. 17:9. He who conceals a transgression, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who spreads a matter separates intimate friends. Slanderers will not be established before God. Again, this in extreme is a form of reversionism, if not major STA activity on the part of an individual. I'm not saying that, you know, you're a reversionist if you malign someone, but you have to be careful and be sure that you have your facts when you are talking about and discussing other believers, because this is serious business to be involved in a verbal castigation of other believers, especially those that don't deserve it, and the facts need to be there. Some people take one fact, build it all up, and run with it, and castigate and characterize a believer in a bad light. And you don't want to be a part of that type of activity, obviously. In the prayer, he says, Psalm 140:11, may a slander not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. Well, that's a good prayer for today, because there's that type of people all around. Proverbs 20, we're not to associate with these kind of people if we detect that they are involved in this activity. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. People tell things they shouldn't be telling other people that they know about people. You got to be very careful about that. Very circumspect. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. If someone is a consistent gossip, I don't mean if they gossiped on an occasion, but someone who is continually noted as, oh, that person's a gossip. You are not to associate with that person. You're to draw back from that person. Malicious gossips abound in the last days. 2 Timothy 3. Okay. 1 through 3. This is a good one for us, the last days. This is a part of our prophetic orientation to things. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, perilous or difficult, we call it perilous, that's from the King James Version, difficult times will come either way. And this definitely describes the human race at large today. For men will be lovers of self, self-promotion, pursuing self, lovers of money, easy, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Revilers brings in this idea of verbally attacking people. And it's so common. People are doing it now through the, you know, they're on their phones. They're texting people, putting out information they shouldn't be. disobedient to parents, ungrateful. I've noticed that in some people. They are not grateful for what people do for them. So ungrateful. I see it, because this is a part of the self-centered syndrome in the last days. They don't have capacity to have basic appreciation for things. They're ungrateful. They do not express their gratitude towards those that deserve their gratitude. And that could be anybody that could benefit you in some way. Ungrateful, unholy, covers a whole bunch of stuff, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. Add to general gossip, malicious, because their intent is to harm. Some people, it may not be their intent to harm, they're just gossiping. But some people want to hurt people by what they say. Did you hear? And away we go. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, that's double dealing, reckless behavior, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then we bring in the religious angle, holding to a form of godliness. They go to church. It's a form of godliness. Although they have denied its power. In other words, they don't. That true godliness, religiosity exists, but it doesn't have the power of doctrine. Avoid such men as these. And then he goes into a further discussion there. All right. Deacons' wives are not to be gossips. 2 Timothy 3, 11. Women, likewise, must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. That's a context there. Older ladies are to avoid this as well. Maybe it is because older women have this time on their hands, their age, other factors may be involved in it. People think they're real righteous, but they're really running people down and maligning them. Titus 2, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women, that's in the royal family within an environment, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. All right, we are to isolate this sin. We will sin in these areas. Believers will nevertheless sin, fall prey to this from time to time. And we are to, Ephesians 4, 31, context, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit is another doctrine, another principle that says you are secure in Christ, doctrine of eternal security, along with day of redemption, the resurrection. So you're sealed from the point you believed in Christ. Let all bitterness and wrath, that's extreme anger and clamor, that's stirring up people, agitator, that's clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Malice is ill will towards other people, even without any particular reason to have ill will. It's just they have malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, critical to the Christian way of life, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there's a pattern here for how we're to conduct ourselves towards one another in Colossians 3, verse 8. A lot of harm is done where people are not isolating their STA and identifying things within a local church. We see it here in the letters and the things that were written as a corrective to this type of behavior. Colossians 3, 8. This leads into when before you were saved, you were engaged in these activities in what you once operated. But now, you also put them all aside. This is a part of rebound, isolation of the STA before and after the fact. Before the fact, don't go there. After the fact, rebound it. Anger, we get angry at times. This is general anger. Wrath is extreme anger expressed. Malice, again, ill will towards fellow humans. Slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. That starts back at salvation, isolation of the STA. Engagement in STA activity, then you have to lay it aside again by 1 John 1:9. And have put on the new self, that's the new you, that's the new person that's being developed as a result of learning and building yourself up spiritually. That's the new you. It's weak and it's uninformed at salvation, and it's supposed to be informed and built up over time, the new you, the new self. So you know how to operate given in a given set of circumstances. Who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. All right. And 1 Peter 2:1. See, the same kind of language. The language is always in this regard, putting aside a garment, let's say, that is soiled. I will use that one as excluded. You put it aside because it's been soiled, and so you're going to put it aside and put on something that is clean. Therefore, putting aside is isolation of that. And of course, you absolutely need a mechanic for this. How do you put it aside? Someone might read the Bible and say, you'll never do it again. That's unrealistic. It is unrealistic. As determined as you may be not to sin in a particular area, you may fall back into it. Particularly these sins that seem to have no immediate repercussions. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And notice how he puts aside malice. Just having a bad attitude towards others for whatever reasons and sometimes no reason. These are people that have malice. The Christian life is not to be one of malice. We deal with a lot of these different sins. And all deceit. Don't be playing games. Be forthright about stuff. And hypocrisy. Now hypocrisy, there's one for you. There's different levels of it. Just like in any of these, there's different levels. You can speak out against something and then turn right around and do it. Does that make you a hypocrite? No. You committed the sin of hypocrisy, but you rebound that. Nobody lives perfectly. Extreme hypocrisy, yes, there's the like the Pharisees. Complete phonies and fakes with this facade of righteousness, but they were hypocrites. Hypocrisy is listed. And envy. Do you envy anybody anything? Resent what they have. That's a sin. Envy. Actually, if a believer has been blessed or has something, and we're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice. I'm glad for you. I'm glad that worked out for you. Because it's a member of the family and you're glad for them being blessed. And there we go again. All slander. Like newborn babes, long for pure milk of the word. That's basic doctrine. So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Phase one. Okay. Absence of this sin is a sign or a very low level of it. That you're not a maligner and a gossip. Psalm 15, verse 3. A psalm of David, a quick psalm. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? This is a point in Israel's history under David. He who walks with integrity, that's positive volition, and a person that's about the truth, and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Takes up a reproach against his friend. That is category three, love, as category one is love for God. Category two is right man, right woman, marriage. Category three is friendship. And friendship, you might say, well, he's my friend. Yeah, in a loose sense, yes. But sometimes there is a friend that's closer than a brother. They're a real friend. It's just a bond that occurs. David had this with Jonathan. Before Jonathan made his fateful decision to stay with Saul, family, once again, here's the family bug bit him. He's going to put dad first, false loyalty over David. His dad was a reversionist. He didn't have to harm him, but he didn't have to stay with him. He should have aligned with David. And that's the way it was. I mean, all this time, he wasn't double-dealing with David. He was in Saul's camp. Saul wasn't after him. He would warn David about Saul's movements so David would be safe. But he got too close to his father. And he stayed close to his father, and he put father above truth and, in this case, his friend David. And he lost his life under the sentence of death with his father when he was in the wrong place, in the wrong set of circumstances. So this is the doctrine of, based on the doctrine of friendship. Nor takes up a reproach against his friend. If everybody's running his friend down, he doesn't take it up. He won't pick it up and run with it. He refuses. He's talking about a believer with lots of integrity who will not join the crowd in running down his friend. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt. If you tell someone you're going to do something, you need to do it, even if it costs you. Be careful what you promise. Swear. Back in the day when I promised, it looked like it was easy. Circumstances have changed, and it's making it a lot more difficult for me. He swears to his own hurt. How about that's the highest level right there? Giving your word, saying something, and then circumstances come. Oh, well, I can't do that now. Because I had this unexpected whatever. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money in interest. He can make a loan to another believer. Give him that's in some kind of a bind, and he gives him a loan, but he doesn't charge him interest. In fact, the New Testament takes it a step level. If the person doesn't pay you back, you just blow it off. Write it off. And you don't go around having mental attitude sense and telling others how this person took you. See, you step away from those things. You'll get reward for it. God knows what you did. You made a loan. The person didn't pay you back. Big deal. Just some money. He does not put out his money at interest. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Well, that's way off the line. And being a false witness and that kind of way off wall stuff. He who does these things will never be shaken. The person that can live up to... These are operational things a believer can do if he is willing to apply at this level. All right. Boasting. Shift gears. Boasting is a sin of the tongue. 1 Samuel 2:3. Now again, we have to be careful that we don't misjudge it as somebody This context deals with the mother of the great prophet Samuel. And the desire of her heart was to have a child. And being a married woman and all that, there's nothing wrong with having this. And she had a strong desire. But things weren't working out like, you know, boom, boom, have a child, that's it. No. So Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is established in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies." because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, reversal of fortunes. But those who are hungry cease to be hungry. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor man from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. There's your pillars of the earth again. And he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones. But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. This also goes down the line historically. And he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. All right. Boasting. Going to James 3, we find ourselves. Believers get into this. Just a fact. I mean, they get to boasting about stuff. Let me see here. James 3. Okay, this just... So the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Men boast in evil, Psalm 52:1. They brag about the evil they're doing. They boast in it. Psalm 52:1. Excuse me. Why do you boast, O mighty man? The loyalty of the Lord endures all day long. I read this one to you earlier. I won't go over it again. This has a context. It's David here in this song, in this psalm, dealing with an evil individual who was a mighty man. A strong guy, tough guy, bad news guy, who was a paid assassin of Saul, Doeg the Edomite. Just the name sends to me this guy was a bad dude. Okay? And he would kill for money. And out of this comes, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loyalty of the Lord endures all day. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, a deceitful tongue. God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see in fear and will laugh at him, saying, behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. So, anyway, people boast in wealth, Psalm 49:6. They brag about what they have monetarily. And that is their trust. Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. And the psalmist here, was saying, why should I be afraid in days of adversity? And when I'm surrounded by my enemies, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, These are the people that make money their god, trust in their wealth. That's what they're relying on. Many people in the world like that today. The shortcoming of money, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give God a ransom for him. The redemption of his soul is costly, the work of Christ on the cross, and he should cease trying forever. There's churches where people go and give money and think they can buy their way to God. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, he really needs your money. He who created gold, he who created everything, does not need anything anyone has. The reason we have people give is so that they can support the Lord's work and get the reward for it. But God isn't in need of any of this. So you can't buy your way to heaven. You can't buy your way into God's good favor with money. And there are Christians who have taken the giving thing and turned it into a get-rich scheme. If you give 10% of your income, or if you give this and you give this, then God is going to bless you how many fold? They tell people this and people fall for it all the time and make these preachers rich while these people fork over their money. And if some of them are successful, they say, hey, it works. It works. They're deceived. Now, this deals with the people that we would call the elite and people out there. So he should cease trying, that he should live on eternally and should not undergo permanent decay. I added that. For he sees that even wise men die. Real smart people, super smart. They die, don't they? Okay, they have no edge. Their wisdom and the stupid and the senseless alike perish. This is kind of like the book of Ecclesiastes. And leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever. There are some long-standing dynasties and families with long histories that go way back hundreds and hundreds of years that have established certain things. That family has had this estate and produced this wine since the 1400s, say. And their descendants are still with it. Okay. And their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands by after their own names. They name things after them. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish and those after them who approve of their words. As sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. And the upright shall rule over them in the morning, the new dawn, the new age. And their form shall be for Sheol to consume, so they'll have no habitation. And then the psalmist goes back, but God will redeem my soul from the powers of Sheol. An interesting observation. For he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, more boasting. And though men praise you when you do well for yourself, you shall go to the generation of his fathers. They'll never see the light. And then the refrain of this song, as songs have refrains, man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 49, a good one to read and to meditate on. People boast in idols, Psalm 97:7. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. I'm sure a lot of boasting has gone on with regard to their idolatry. Worship him, all you gods. And people boast in people. We have to be careful about this one. It's okay to say, you know, I recommend this guy a lot for something. I recommend he does a good job. He's always done a good job for me. But you cannot cross over into the boasting factor. So let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Okay? The Corinthians, they were boasting. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of Apollos. And they were boasting. It was a form of boasting. And this division that occurred that Paul had to deal with in that church and the situation there. It is a characteristic of the rapture generation. We gave you that. Men at the end are enjoined to cease boasting. All of Psalm 75. We are not to boast in tomorrow. Stop on that one. Now you can say, well, tomorrow I plan to. It's not boasting because the mental attitude is right. You understand that things can be changed. You're not. It's, you know, some of these things are simply, what is your mental attitude? I will do this. You don't have to say it. I'm going to do this, God willing. You can say it or not say it. It's your mental attitude that is sanctified. We know that God has the final word in things we're going to plan to do in a given time. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow. For you do not know what a day may bring forth. And how? We do not. So we just get up and go about our business. And this is what I plan to do tomorrow. Ask God to bless it. If things change, they change. And we recognize that if you're in the will of God. Do not boast about tomorrow. And James 4. And this comes right down to Christians doing this. And he had to put out this corrective. And sorry about that. Got turned around here again, as I often do. All right. James 4. 13. Now James is chiding these believers. See, he had a progress report and all this stuff was going on among these Christians. And so he had to put out this corrective. Come now, you who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, and engage in business and make a profit. Now, if you don't know the background of this, these are believers who are economically distressed due to a couple of factors. Persecution of Christians by fellow Jews, having trouble getting jobs, and there was a depression, kind of a famine type thing going on at this time. And so believers were underneath this, and they were thinking about, well, maybe I need to go over here and get a job and make some money, and then I'll do that and get some financial relief. And in other words, get out of the geographical will, get out of your right church, get all this stuff. So so you're going to cut yourself off from the geographical will of God, where the spiritual factor is, so you can engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It looks good at first, but it doesn't last. Instead, you ought to say this: if the Lord wills, we will live and we will also do this or that, seeking the directive will of God in matters. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin. It's at a higher level. It's still a sin, but it moves it up the ladder to a more serious type thing. This is one of the things that the pastor-teacher battles with regard to people, is that they get opportunities to go somewhere else, make money. That's not what you're to pursue. You're to pursue doctrine, let God take care of the circumstances, and suffer some amount of hardship, if you have to, by staying where God wants you to stay. He's got so many things he can do. He puts you under that, allows you to be under that kind of testing, So many things he can do to turn it around for you in that area if you'll put him and his word first and put getting ahead second as down the ladder. What we should boast in as believers, and this is sanctified boasting, we should boast in our knowledge and understanding of God's plan. Jeremiah 9. There's nothing wrong with saying, I found the truth, I have the truth, I know the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's brought out here in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Oh, well, they'll do it. And let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loyalty, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. First Corinthians 1:31. This is just a quote. He quotes from the Jeremiah. Just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is what God did for me. This is what God has for me. This is what I have, and that's fine. That's perfectly sanctified type boasting. All right. We'll pick up tomorrow night with the laundry list here of verbal cursing. And it is directed towards both God and others, and why this is a sin. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, encourage us to act appropriately with regard to the things we say. In Jesus' name, amen.